It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From Odyssey, I'm Lauren Berry, and this is the On Deadline podcast, where we take a deeper look at stories from our radio newsrooms across the country. Today is Super Tuesday, and we're bringing you a special edition of the show highlighting what to expect from one of the most important days of the presidential primary season here in the U.S. As the U.S. Department of State's Share America program explains, 15 states and the U.S. territory of American Samoa will hold elections to help determine who the Republican and Democrat presidential nominees will be in November. It's the largest group of delegates decided during the primaries in a single day. And by the end of the day, half of the Republican and 36% of the Democratic delegates will be decided. Primary season began in mid-January. Going into Super Tuesday, former President Donald Trump had the most GOP delegates, and incumbent President Joe Biden had the most Democrat delegates. While both men held a far and away lead over any challengers, Americans overall appear to have lukewarm feelings about both of them. Check out previous episodes of On Deadline, where we dive into issues voters have with both Trump and Biden, including Trump's massive legal problems and concerns about Biden's age. In Colorado, one of those 15 Super Tuesday states, Trump's legal mess even led the state Supreme Court to rule that he shouldn't appear on primary ballots there. However, the U.S. Supreme Court stepped in Monday, just in time, and said that his name could appear on those ballots. Politico reporter Zach Montalaro discussed what this development means with Odyssey in New York City.
Now, Donald Trump is likely to win most of these contests tomorrow. What does this ruling, you think, do for him? This gives him even more momentum?
Yeah, I mean, to the extent that Trump was really at risk of losing the Republican nomination, which was approaching zero, this makes it even more certain that he's going to win the Republican nomination. He was going to win it before this ruling, he was going to win it after, but at least now Republican voters can cast their votes knowing that their votes for Trump will count in the primary and he won't be disqualified.
Right. Well, action had to be taken today with these primaries tomorrow in Colorado's, of course. Did anything about the Supreme Court's ruling surprise you today?
A couple of things, I guess, stood out. One, that the top line decision that states do not have the authority to remove candidates or federal candidates from the ballot was 9-0. We don't often see a lot of 9-0 decisions from the Supreme Court, especially in contentious cases. And there was a lot of disagreement kind of under that top line of what the ruling meant and how it should be enforced. But at least all nine justices, from the most liberal to the most conservative, agreed that states can't, you know, remove a presidential candidate off the ballot. And then the second thing is the Supreme Court didn't address what happened on January 6th, other than to, you know, go over the facts of the case, saying, you know, people alleged that Trump was responsible for it. The Supreme Court didn't weigh in even a little bit. That's not surprising per se. They didn't address it during oral arguments, but it's notable that the Supreme Court is skipping, you know, Trump's culpability for what actually happened, you know, 3 years ago.
Right. Now, this really sets the stage for the big rematch. To beat Trump, you have to beat him at the ballot box. And how is President Biden's campaign preparing for this likely rematch?
Yeah, so notably, the president's campaign really wasn't involved in this effort to have Trump disqualified. I know the former president likes to say otherwise, but president's, you know, White House and the president's campaign was kind of detached from this. And it just kind of goes to show you that, you know, this election is going to be incredibly close. We have two very unpopular candidates running for president, and this election is going to come down to, you know, four or five states, you know, tens of thousands of votes here and there. So, you know, we're not going to learn much tomorrow from Super Tuesday about what the general election means. We'll look to states like North Carolina or Wisconsin or Michigan for where this election is going to be decided. And both campaigns are already investing all their money. Both campaigns assumed that this ruling wouldn't kick Trump off, and this isn't going to change any strategy for either the former president or the current.
There's so much speculation, you know, about the matchup between Trump and Biden. Again, speculation about President Biden and his future. What do you think? What odds would you put at it not being a Trump-Biden match by November?
Zero, you know, barring a life-changing health catastrophe for either man, I think at this point, everyone should assume, and everyone should have been assuming for the last 6 months, frankly, if not longer than that, but especially now, everyone should assume that it's going to be Trump versus Biden in the general election. I know that a lot of people aren't thrilled about that. Most polls saying most Americans aren't super excited about Trump v. Biden, but everybody listening, everyone voting should at this point assume that it's going to be Trump v. Biden. There's no mysterious off-ramp that, you know, either party is going to end up taking.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
As Montalaro noted, it seems likely that Trump and Biden will be the victors this Super Tuesday. Political analyst Steve Roberts told Odyssey in Buffalo that there are still important things the primaries have revealed about American voters that we might be overlooking.
Is this the biggest dud Super Tuesday that we've ever seen?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good way to put it. By this time next week, I'm 98% certain Nikki Haley will be out of the race. It will be Trump versus Biden. But that's been our expectation from the day the primary season started, and nothing has really changed in a basic way. But something has changed in terms of some of the dynamics. And you saw it last week in the vote in Michigan. There were two important takeaways. On the Democratic side, 100,000 people voted uncommitted, many of them Arab Americans, Muslims from the Detroit area, who wanted to send a very clear message to Joe Biden that he can't take their votes for granted, that they're very upset with his policies in the Middle East supporting Israel. And Michigan is one of the handful of key swing states. Hillary Clinton lost that state by only 11,000 votes in 16. That's how close that state can be. And that was a very important takeaway and a very important warning signal. But people have not focused on the other warning signal, and that is that Donald Trump only got 68% of the vote. Now, that sounds like a huge number. It is. But turn it around. That means 32% of the Republican voters in Michigan voted for somebody else. And that comes after, in Iowa, it was 49% voting for someone else. New Hampshire, 46%. South Carolina, 40%. So the takeaway there is that, yes, Trump owns the Republican Party. Trump will be the nominee. But he doesn't own all Republican voters. The primaries have shown that there's a significant minority of Republican voters who are very unhappy with Trump's nomination and are up for grabs in the fall. So both parties have to be alarmed at the results from Michigan last week.
There's a new poll out from the New York Times and Siena College. I don't know if it was yesterday or today, but it had some interesting tidbits in there, Steve. A majority of voters who supported the president in 2020 now say he's too old to lead the country, according to the poll. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean they're not going to vote for him, but in those numbers, Trump winning 97% of the people who say they voted for him 4 years ago, and virtually none of his past supporters are casting a ballot for the current president. Biden's supporters, he's only winning 83% of his 2020 supporters, according to this poll. 10% say they'll now back former President Trump. I mean, that has to be a very disturbing number if you're in the Biden campaign.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that poll had a lot of bad news for the Democrats. So three out of five, as you point out, three out of five of Biden supporters from 3 years ago said he's too old. Now, and there's just absolutely no doubt that the age issue is a huge problem for Biden. And it's actually getting worse, in my view, not better, because as more and more voters see Biden on the campaign trail, answering questions at press conferences, his frailty is more and more palpable. I played a clip in my class at George Washington University. It was supposed to be this lighthearted video of the president and his wife, Jill, answering questions. And it was supposed to show that they're relatable and ordinary folk. And by far, the most striking takeaway was how much more energetic and vital Jill Biden is than her husband. And I think the contrast was stunning to my class, and it was to me. And look, there are some ways in which Biden can say, look, the economy's getting better. Jobs are being created. Inflation is under control. All the polls show that slowly but steadily, the mood on the economy's getting better. But he can't go on the campaign trail and say, I'm getting younger. He can't say, if you elect me, I'm going to be 65, right? I mean, it's baked into the equation. And I think as he goes out on the campaign, it's actually going to get to be a bigger problem as more people see him. But at the same time, I think that Trump has a tangible problem, too, because as people see Trump, they're going to see crazy. They're going to see unsteadiness. They're going to see the mercurial and tempestuous nature. And the word that Nikki Haley used over and over again is the same word that the Biden people are going to use, which is chaos follows Trump. So if you want to reduce this to a very oversimplified equation, Biden has a huge age problem, but Trump has a crazy problem. And in many ways, this election is going to be about two warring negatives, and which is more damaging, Biden's age or Trump's craziness?
After the dust settles today, we'll still have a way to go before the primary season is over on June 8th. Once the primaries are done, the parties will announce their respective candidates during their national conventions over the summer, and then that's when the presidential race really heats up ahead of the November election. Keep listening to On Deadline to get all of the latest insight. This show is produced by Joe Heedy, Christy Strouser, and Myron Kaplan. I'm Lauren Berry. Thanks for listening to On Deadline, Odyssey's serving of a top news story just for you. Subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts to stay informed.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.